Welcome to part one of our Safarnama or Rihla reading this year from Mumbai to Makkah by Ilya Troyanov. Ilya Troyanov was born in Sofia, Bulgaria in 1965. When he was just 6 years old, his family fled Bulgaria through Yugoslavia to Germany, where they received political asylum. When he was just 7 years old, his family moved to Kenya, where Ilya's father obtained a job as an engineer. He lived in Nairobi, attended a German language school, and then studied law in Paris. In 1999, Troyanov moved to Mumbai and he became intensely involved with Indian life and the Muslim culture. He has also lived in Cape Town and he returned to Germany and then to Austria, where he currently resides in Vienna. Mumbai to Makkah was written in 2003 when he travelled from the Indian city of Mumbai to Makkatul Mukarrama, and incidentally he completed his memoir in South Africa in 2004. Part 1 begins where he is just about to leave Mumbai with a group of people. "Can you recite the Labbaik?" one of my friends asked, and I uttered the first line a little diffidently at first, but with increasing confidence as the other joined in, and we recited on the 16th floor of a Mumbai-sized skyscraper the call of the pilgrim in unison, "Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik." We took our leave from one another at Terminal 2, known at this time of the year as the Hajj Terminal. Burhan, who had been particularly helpful in the lead-up, took me aside and said, "You will experience many things which will seem strange to you. Hajjis can behave like madmen. You will be taken aback by the behavior of some of the Hajjis, but you have to understand, Ilya, it all stems from love. A lover is not always rational in his actions or how he expresses his emotions and aims to please his beloved." So saying, Burhan embraced me warmly and I joined the line of people. The guide I knew best was Hamid Bayat, chain smoker with great bags under his eyes and a protruding lower lip that lent him a constantly sleepy air, even in the midst of hectic activity. Hamid Bai was up at the check-in counter, overseeing the check-in of our luggage. The pilgrims may have been lightly attired, but they definitely weren't traveling light. Sacks of basmati rice were piled high by the Air India counter, trolleys so laden they could scarcely be pushed, and so numerous that the non-trading pilgrims found themselves clambering over boxes and sacks to reach the check-in counter. In an age where entire time zones could be crossed in a matter of hours, the way to Makkah was still paved with obstacles. One of the employees from the travel agency, who had sincerely shared in my delight when my visa came through, made an impassioned plea. "Would I pray that he too be granted to perform the Hajj the following year?" I readily agreed, knowing that there would be plentiful opportunities to fulfill all these pledges. The other passengers in Terminal 2, business travelers on their way to Singapore, yoga tourists returning to Paris, all gaped in amazement at the sight of men in archaic clothing on mobile phones placing their final calls in the winding queue for passport control. That brings us to the end of our excerpt from Mumbai to Makkah Part 1. We'll be back tomorrow, inshallah, with Part 2.